And now it's time for the Daily Douchebag Pledge.
Two douchebags and a microphone pledge. I, Joe or Jane listener, hereby promise to download every show. I, Joe or Jane listener, hereby promise to grab family members' phones and download the show from there. I, Joe or Jane listener, hereby promise to go to public computers and download the show from there. I, Joe or Jane listener, hereby promise to laugh at all the unfunny jokes. I, Joe or Jane listener, hereby promise to lie to all my friends and tell them how good the show is. And finally, I, Joe or Jane listener, promise to visit Montrose, Missouri to take advantage of the power plant, campgrounds, and junkyard all within its quarter mile radius.
Here at Two Douchebags and a Microphone, we don't stand behind our journalistic integrity. Go ahead and assume we got the story wrong. At least we admit it. Not like all those other guys, we can and will lie if it makes the story better.
Two Douchebags and a Microphone.
We talk and listen.
Hey there, fuckstick. You're just in time for brand new feature news nobody gives a shit about.
A California girl just got a license to carry a unicorn.
Two douchebags, a microphone, in an effort to keep everything fresh, we offer you first world problems.
My 76-inch smart HDMI, triphonic, stereo TV. My remote won't work unless I'm right in front of it. I can't believe it. This is bullshit.
This is a voice guy from your favorite podcast, Two Douchebags and a Microphone. People often ask us how they can find us when doing a remote broadcast. One, smell. Go to the city market and start sniffing. Our aroma has been described as a mixture of flea powder for goats, Tabasco sauce, and old sock with dark fuzzy urine. Two, look for the spot absent of patrons. Three, the most telling sign is a crowd of patrons vomiting uncontrollably. Four, just call us at 816-512-7717. Two douchebags in a microphone, raw and uncensored. See Behind the Smoke Show. Watch as the douchebags get stung by a swarm of bees. Enjoy one of many coffee houses ordering our heroes out. Watch Mark revisit Clinton, Missouri to claim his innocence for all the mad shitter accusations.
I'm not the mad shitter.
Act now and get both high-quality DVD sets and a free douchebag calendar. Mark off the day with a douchebag looking at you. Supplies are limited, so act now.
Two douchebags and a microphone. I'm Mark.
And I am Rob.
All right. Hey, Rob, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. Doing pretty good.
That's good to hear you, Sam.
Life's doing good right now, brother.
Good. That's great, brother. I love to hear that. You know, you sound chipper. That's excellent,
yep.
Man. You know, I'm one of the people that, like, if my good friends hurt, I hurt. And I think you're the same way, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I've always been that way.
Yeah, I mean, I can't be truly happy unless most of the people that I know are relatively happy. There's always just something a little bit that bothers me whenever I know someone is not, you know, doing as good as they could. But I'm glad you've everything is going well, and it sounds like Shannon, right?
Yep.
Sounds like Shannon has quite a bit to do with that, so I'm very happy for you.
I believe so.
And all you other chicks out there, you missed it. I gave you the opportunity to grab Rob. He's gone.
Yep.
Like I said, man, you know, he's going to be gone one day, and then you're going to be going, damn it. So, anyhow, Rob is snapped up by Shannon, and we're very happy with that. I got a few things here. There's a new Jif peanut butter flavor.
Okay.
It's called Jif to Go and Chocolate Flavored Spread. I'm all in. Yeah, sounds pretty damn good, don't it?
Hey, anything chocolate and peanut butter, you got my attention, man.
Yeah. I decided to go a little bit lighthearted on this one because I listened to podcasts the other day and all this stuff with Bruce Dickinson and all that stuff, calling that person a see you next Tuesday and all that.
Right.
I was like, man, I wish I would have just shut that down. But it's there and everything. I was just like, you know, that's the kind of thing that makes people, like, turn it off, you know. But we're really trying to dissect it like the guy did. You know, the guy that sent me the email was genuine about it, you know, and he was right. But I should have shut it down. I should have just been like, yeah, the guy's bigoted. Let's just go on. But anyhow, okay. KC area stores are all ordered to stop selling illegal Fabuloso disinfectant products. These apparently are fakes of the real product and contain some ingredients that might be harmful. 17 area grocery stores in all. The products were illegally imported into the U.S. These products, according to the FDA, contain glucuronide that pose several health risks, including throat and lung irritation, asthma and difficulty breathing, dermatitis, nasal irritation, sneezing, wheezing, burning eyes, and various other problems. The grocery stores are ones that serve the Hispanic community. Other products that are on the stop sell list are antibacterial Clorox, Royal Pine, Golden Essence, multi-purpose antibacterial wipes are another one, and various other Hispanic cleaning products. A man in Arizona is very frightened. Well, hang on. You know what? Before I go into that, okay, what that sounds like to me, and correct me if you think I'm wrong, Rob, is I think that those are products that they can sell in Mexico, but not here.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, and I think that's all it was is I don't know if someone did it for more profit because they bought it cheaper there or if it was actually a mix-up, but it seems to be, as of right now, just the Kansas City stores are affected by these illegal products because of what they contain in them, you know. So, anyhow, it's just like in California, they can't have FD&C number, is it yellow or something like that? Or red, no, it's red.
Yeah, I think it's yellow.
Yeah, so anyhow, it's the same type of thing, only, you know, America won't let that stuff in.
Oh, no, wasn't it red?
Yeah.
Because it was like the red skin.
It was red, yes, it was red, thank you.
Yeah,
because I remember we were talking about that, okay.
Right.
Okay. A man in Arizona had a frightening experience with a giant snake crawled from under his hood of his car and onto his windshield while he was on an interstate. He managed to stop and get the snake off his windshield without crashing. Apparently, there is a lack of bathroom poetry in the stall walls. I'm like doing like a lightning round here. But anyhow, you know what? Real quick, we'll go into that a second, too. Okay. Imagine that. You're driving on a freeway and a giant snake all of a sudden just pops up from the inside of your car on your windshield.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, he didn't wreck. He got it to the side, and he got the snake off. I imagine he probably got a stick or something and just grabbed the snake and tossed him to the side, I guess. It didn't really go into exactly what he did, but, you know, he managed to, you know, to stop and got the snake off his windshield without crashing, so that's good. Apparently, there is a lack of bathroom poetry on the stall walls. Hardly any jokes or drawings, insults, and etc. This is due to cell phones, they found out. Seems that most people that are sitting on the crapper would rather browse their cell phones than sketch drawings and poetry. Remember when it was
I can understand that.
Yeah. They say there's like virtually no poetry on walls and drawings and all that stuff like there used to be, you know.
Right.
Someone would draw like a penis. Another guy would say someone does something for my, you know, and all this stuff. But I guess they're just not doing it anymore because everybody's too busy browsing the internet while they're taking a dump. You know, I kind of miss the old shithouse poetry such as, "Here I am, all brokenhearted. I came here to shit, but only farted." That was one of my personal favorites. What about you, Rob?
Yep.
And then the random
That was a classic.
That was a classic. And then the random live phone number of an ex with instructions to be as explicit as possible in a purr voice.
Yeah, and it never worked out.
Oh, no.
Numbers never worked.
I think what happens is the people change their number. Someone's, like, really mad at their ex, and then they, like, give the live number out on a shitter wall, and then, like, the next day they change their number, so when you call, it's like, nee-er-nee-er, and it's like, oh, man, I got here 2 days late. So, anyhow, But I wouldn't do that anyhow. It's like, yeah. I was too afraid of getting caught. You know, when I used to do those, when I used to call Quick Trip, I got caught.
Yeah.
Danielle caught me. So.
All right. Oh, of course, Danielle.
Yeah. Remember the last time that we were going to revisit it, me and Davey were? And they're like, yeah, we're bored. Let's call Quick Trip again and fuck with people. Then as soon as, you know, hello? And I don't know what I said, like, what are you wearing or whatever, or hey, I'm scratching my balls or something, you know. And he's like, Mark Wallace. Huh? What? This is Danielle. I'm like, oh, shit. So anyway, I'm like, forget everything. Why are you calling a payphone? Nah, just move on. You don't need to know. So, anyhow. Okay, so anyhow, there's like no more shithouse poetry or horrible drawings or anything at. So, now, I found an app that changes the channel on most TVs and internet TV services. It's fun to wait until someone's starting to fall asleep and then change the channel to QVC. Then tell them something like the channels pay the subscription services to change the channel to QVC during the night hours. And some people believe it, some people won't.
Right.
John in Kentucky thinks our show would be more entertaining if I make goat noises continually instead of our regular talk. John, that is a premium service that is $9.99 a month. PayPal or Venmo. You only get the goat noises the whole time unless you do the premium subscription. I'm sorry, other than that, it's this crappy show. This crappy show is for free.
He's got to make money somehow.
Yeah, come on now. We all know the goat noises are what's in. So, I mean,
I have my books and my puzzle. He needs something.
Yeah, that's right. I gotta make a buck somehow. Rob's always out of his puzzle. I mean, him in a loincloth in the rainforest.
Yeah.
I mean, they went like hotcakes. Yeah, they're in the middle.
I got to get a new shipment out of him, man.
Yeah. Me, I got to do something. I mean, what I got going for me? Goat noises? There you go. So. All right, anyhow. Yeah, see, I got to be good at it. Just like when I was on that cruise and the hillbillies were next to me, and we had our light off and we're out there on the on our patio on the balcony, and they just have partitions, but you can hear them and everything, and they'd be over there drinking and smoking, and all of a sudden I go, and you hear them talking, all of a sudden they shut up, and you hear them trying to hear it again, so I'd be really quiet and not do anything. And then I wait for him to start talking again. I go, and you can tell. And you hear some whispering like, hey, did you hear that? What? What? It sounded like a goat. Was that what that was? And me and Val, all we could do is like do our best not to crack up laughing because they're like freaking out thinking they heard a goat and they're smashed. So anyhow. So $9.99 a month. What the hell was his name? John in Kentucky.
A goat on a cruise ship.
I imagine it fucked with him pretty good because every time I did that, they went in from the balcony eventually. So, okay. Nearly half of all China's cities are sinking. I'm thinking of starting a mud and polyjacking service in China. What about you?
Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
Hell yeah, Go around. Go. I can raise your property here. I don't know about everyone else's, but you'll be up where you're supposed to be. Everyone else will sink, right?
Yeah.
So, all right. There's Raspberry Spice Sprite is the newest flavor for them. It's supposed to be refreshing and still be lemon-lime flavored. Now, Rob, correct me if I'm wrong on this. I've never thought Sprite actually tasted like lemon-lime. Have you?
No.
It's good.
I have not either.
It's good, whatever it is, but it's just not lemon-lime. It's just like Olive Garden is good, but it's not Italian food. You know, Taco Bell is good, but it's not real Mexican food. You know, it's something. I don't know what it is, but it's good. I like it all. Well, to me, Sprite has never... I've never considered Sprite lemon-lime. It's just some sort of sugary, magnificently carbonated drink. So, anyhow.
Yeah.
So, anyhow, it's supposed to refresh it and still be lemon-lime flavored. So, anyhow. I do drink it here and there, but I'd never consider it lemon-lime. So, anyhow. New Starbucks cups are made with 75% plastic. I wish they could same for their coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah. I am just more and more have become not a fan of Starbucks. The more I try other coffees and do other ways of brewing coffee and all that, the more I find out that Starbucks is really, to me, I don't think it's that good of a product. I think it's very overpriced and not as good as they say. So, any...
Yeah, I went to Scoops the other day, and it was pretty good.
Who was it?
Scoops.
Oh, Scooters?
Like that.
Scooters?
Or Scooters, yeah.
Yeah, Scooters is really good. I like their coffee. Yeah. Yeah, Scooters
is good.
We have
one here in Campton.
Oh, you do, in the little drive-thru thing?
Yeah,
they're popping up everywhere. I like Scooters, too. They're really good. But my favorite is Dutch Brothers, and when you come down, I'll take you there. There's one in Belton, but there's only like a couple around Kansas City right now. I think they're from the coast, the West Coast, so they haven't made it all the way. Do what?
I've heard of them.
They're really good. They're my favorite right now. So, more men are now getting faceless, according to the medical board. I believe it. Man bun guy really hates his chin, so it needs to be corrected. So when you see a new GoFundMe, for a new chin, you know why. Man bun guy needs a new chin.
You know, some real man just busted his.
The real man came up there and made fun of him, so now he's got to start a GoFundMe.
Just bust him right in that chin.
I had my feelings hurt. Well, why is that, man bun guy? A guy came by and made fun of my chin. And then he busted me in the jaw. His name was Rob. But I did get his calendar. He's in a loincloth. Okay, Gen Z are in more debt at the same age than millennials. Zers have more lines of credit, higher delinquency rates, and a higher debt-to-income ratio than millennials did at the same age. Today's 22 to 24-year-olds have an average debt-to-income ratio of 16% compared to 12% for millennials of that age in 2023. One huge difference is the escalating cost of avocado toast in Starbucks' new juicer drinks. That seems to put them in the red.
Yeah.
Yeah. Avocado toast, by the way, may or may not be getting an ass paddling coming up. Just saying.
Okay.
And anyhow, so avocado toast GoFundMe for any Zier page near you. That is the end of Odds and End Bullshit for today. Rob, we look at you to clean this program up.
All right. We have a new resort coming to Lake of the Ozarks.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a new $7 million plus bass fishing resort is on its way to the lake area. That's according to the Osage Beach administrator, Jenna Woods, who says all new Angler's Outpost, that's the name of it, Angler's Outpost, will be located on the parkway on the west end of town near the KK intersection. Project mastermind Tom Roy Jr. says the entire campus of the resort is designed by fishermen, built by fishermen, to serve fishermen.
You see, I love that. I love that. Finally, a bass, you know, an actual real, like, fisherman's, like, lodge deal instead of these foo-foo places, right, where you just go there to get smashed.
Right.
Because they have them down at Table Rock. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
The resort will include suites, sleeping rooms, garage space, and other amenities, and is expected to open for business within the year. The garages are 12 by 60. This place sounds nice.
It really does.
It's going to be located a half mile from Public Beach Number 2.
Which one is that, Rob? What is that off of?
It's the one, like, right in the heart of Osage Beach.
Oh, okay.
On the west side.
Yes.
The Grand Glass.
The one that you can see from the strip really well, right? Is that it?
No, it'd be the other one.
Oh, the other one. Okay.
Yeah, right. This one's on this side, more of this side of the lake.
Okay. Okay.
It's in Osage Beach, by KK, close to KK, which is around the Tantara.
Okay. On down a little. Okay, I got you.
Yeah, it's down on the Osage Beach Parkway is what they call it, which used to be Business 54.
Yeah, okay, I know where you're talking about. You see, I love that idea, Rob, because actually a fishing area. The lake has been taken over by everything else, right? And people actually want to go there and fish because there's great fishing there. You know, they can actually go there and fish.
There is awesome fishing.
It's some of the best fishing around there, but the problem is everybody partying. So people go down to Table Rock Lake where they actually have bass camps. You know, where people, you know, they actually have bass hotels and bass resorts like they're opening up there. You can go there and, like you said, rent a slip, rent a garage. And real fishermen, they'll, like, rent it out for, like, a month and stay there and just fish the whole time and then leave. And that's a great idea. I think that is going to do well.
A lot of retirees.
Yes.
I could see taking advantage of it.
I could see me doing that if I ever fully retire, but I don't know if I'll ever retire. I could see me and you both doing that, probably together. You know what I'd like to do, though, is one of my favorite places to fish is the backwaters of Truman Reservoir.
Yeah.
That is a fun... You take a paddle boat, you don't want to take a motor boat. You're going to ruin your motor over there. But, I mean, a lot of that water is just waist high, if not a little bit higher. But there are some of the best fishing in those, near those logs and those trees that haven't been cut all the way down. You know what I'm talking about, right? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, what off of 13 there. What's over there? Like, maybe deep water or something like that.
Deep water, Osceola.
Osceola, right, yeah, the Grand Lake Arm, I think, is what it is. Yeah, that is a phenomenal place to fish. But like I said, you can only take a paddle boat out there because you'll probably destroy a motor in there. Something will get tangled in it. So cool. I like that a lot. Well, let's go ahead and take our first break. And when we come back, I got some ass paddlings. How's that sound?
Oh, I'm ready, man.
All right,
I'm
am too.
Up.
I mean,
I'm warmed up.
This used to be a monthly thing, but so many people are screwing up that we have to do it like every 2 weeks now. There's just too many people screwing up, and I got another 10 ass paddlings there in 2 weeks. I mean, and then I've already got 3 for the next one. So, anyhow, we'll be right back with some ass paddling because people need it, right?
Right.
Two douchebags and a microphone says... You ever dream about eating chocolate pudding and wake up with a spoon in your ass? Just asking.
Hi, all. This is Chicago. I am the most dangerous city in North America. You can't touch me.
Oh, yeah? This is Kansas City here. Hold my beer, bitch.
Jammed X. What the hell happened? You were the generation of change. You never wanted to be one of them. Apathy spoke for you. Bump the man, bump the system. What the hell happened? The generation of angst, the generation of noncompliance, is now buying a boat? You're really fed up until someone dangled a dollar near you. Great job, Xers. Everything's ruined.
Next time you take a dump, listen to Two Douchebags and a Microphone. It's been proven in laboratory rats to relax your anal canal. Get in comfort.
Brick Shithouse Energy Drink. That's right. Brick Shithouse Energy Drink. Make that girl. Chew off your balls. You want to fuck shit up? Brick Shithouse is for you!
Please enjoy Brick Shithouse Energy Drink responsibly. It's not readily available anywhere because of liability issues.
Tomorrow morning, while grinding your coffee beans for your double mocha latte, remember to not get your genitals caught in the grinder. It really hurts. And who can afford plastic surgery? Stay safe, everyone.
And I'm Rob.
Well, Rob, it was funny when you text me today and you had the same idea I did about this guy that really needs an ass paddling. And he was the first one on the list. And anyhow, very rightly so. But first I'll go into the origin of the ass paddling. So, anyhow, started with me and Topher, probably about the fourth episode, we decided to give out invisible ass paddlings to people that need it. So we were walking along the beach, we were both on vacation in Florida, and the sun was glistening off our hair, it was rising, and the wind was blowing and blowing our hair back, and we were walking along, but we were not holding hands like Rob and his brother say. It was a tender moment, yes, but we were not holding hands. And until I stepped on that genie bottle and stubbed my toe really bad. And, yeah, I fell down. I'm like, ah, oh, shit. Oh, man, that hurts. And Topher's like, ha, that looks like a genie bottle. I'm like, no way, that is not. So I hobble over there, and I'm like, I think it is a genie bottle. So I pop out the cork, and this genie comes out. And he's real condescending, and he could not stand us. He thought we were a couple of rogues, right? So, yeah, I'm like, hey, we're both like, hey, we get three wishes. He rolls his eye. He goes, no. Nope. You guys watch too much TV. You get one wish only. I suggest you use it well. World peace, the environment, something, you know, health. And me and Topher looked at each other and looked at him and said, hey, we want to ass paddle people invisible. The genie very reluctantly, he rolled his eyes and he said, very well, I have to give you your wish. He sighed and he made this happen. So once a month, and now Rob has... he has special permission to attend these events, right?
Yep.
And we use Old Sparky, which is a replica of the paddle that was used on many bottoms, including mine at Cast Midway High. It was a very rugged piece of equipment, a very thick board it was with holes in it, and a long handle on it. So our principal would not get his hand anywhere entwined in your ass and made sure it was all wood and hurt like hell. So we use a replica of Old Sparky because I believe Old Sparky has been retired and he's still in the trophy case with all the championships that we won back during the day. And he's right in the middle. And so...
I believe it.
Yes, yeah. Old Sparky got around. So Old Sparky is in that case as far as I know. So we use a replica of Old Sparky. Old Sparky is a mean son of a bitch. I can tell you that. Ask my ass cheeks. They're not happy with Old Sparky. They're not happy with
it. This one isn't too shabby.
No. It's just like Old Sparky. So.
Yeah.
All right. The first guy to get Old Sparky administered to him while we're invisible and he can't do anything about it. Excuse me, we had to break into the jail to do this, is Jace Christian Hansen, the fuckhead that allegedly the fuckhead that allegedly contaminated customers' food at Leawood Hereford House with bodily fluids or feces. Well, I don't believe it was feces now from an article that I just read, so I think I still have to be the mad shitter. I don't think he took the title from me. I think he was urinating in people's food.
That and rubbing body parts.
Oh, okay. Then maybe he did. Maybe he isn't.
I didn't hear that.
I'm going to have to.
I heard that on KCTV 5.
Okay. Then, all right. Then, all right. Maybe he did take the crown of the mad shitter.
He did urinate and did something. He did.
Okay. So, you know what? He can have that title. I don't need it anymore. I wore it since 95, so.
All because he didn't like his job.
Is that what it was?
That's the report on KCTV 5. That's what they said.
You see, since it was Leawood, I thought that like maybe someone was rude to him, and he's like, oh, I'm going to get them all back. What a dick.
He just didn't like his job.
What a dick. Oh, my gosh. Well, that guy's looking at prison. He's going to do a lot of prison, and I think that's awesome.
Yep.
Anyone that would do that deserves prison for a long time. Excuse my allergies and summer cold. Still working on a cough button, but you know what? Probably won't get one. Because nothing from nothing is nothing, right?
Right.
Yeah. And the next one. Clarence Yoder. The idiot that Rob pointed out to us with his brilliant article that kicked a bison. And him and...
At Yellowstone National Park.
Yes. He gets a bare-ass one, don't you think?
Yeah.
Now, Jace Christian Hansen should have got a bare ass one, but we didn't want to see his ass naked. So we're just going to go ahead and forego that. And we're going to go ahead and let the inmates deal with his asshole, right?
Yeah.
So I'm sure they have plenty to say over his ass. So Clarence Yoder, the idiot that kicked the bison for no reason, gets a bare ass paddling, and he deserves it. The next one that gets it is True Moo Company for producing and selling blue milk like featured in Star Wars. Yeah. Talk about cheap rain dead rubes that will fall for anything. Grab your credit cards and buy some overpriced milk with blue food coloring in it. Go ahead. It's there. Go ahead and spend $80 on that thing or whatever the hell it is. Idiots. So anyhow, they get an ass paddling for doing it. And then after that, we followed up with all the dumb shits that ran out and purchased the idiotic blue milk. And they get a bare-assed one, don't you think?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, because...
That just goes along with the cheese ball dude in New York.
Yes. You know what? You're right.
Got ass paddling. It's only fair.
I think they sit next to each other in the ass paddling holding cell. What do you think?
Yeah, we just put all four of them in a line, just walk on down, just wham, 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 wham.
And we'll just draw straws, because they're all equally as idiotic.
Right.
Okay. That sounds good to me. I think we're on the right track there, Rob. So, all right. And then the next people to get an ass paddling is anyone who highlights their post. So myself and everyone on their friends list gets a notification of said dribble. You want to guarantee that I'll never check out your post? Highlight it, fuckheads. I can't stand it. Because it's like all of a sudden it gives you a notice. So-and-so highlighted their post. And it's like, I don't give a shit about this post. I'll see it when I see it. Don't highlight it like it's priority. Because when I read it, it's something stupid like, I don't know, check out my new line of socks, or I don't know. And it just irritates the piss out of me because I waste time reading that shit. And anyhow, it's one of the things that I really have something against right now. So anyone that does that gets an automatic ass paddling. And
yeah, I know somebody that's selling Bitcoins and every post they make on Facebook, they're highlighting.
Oh, man.
I mean, look, stop it, man.
Oh,
stop
yeah. It. Yeah, that's so annoying. It's like, look, we'll get to your post and we'll read it, but don't try to make like it's like life-altering because you highlighted this thing. I know it's not.
Right.
So, anyhow, it's bullshit. So, anyhow, so if you highlight it and me or Rob or Topher catch you, we're grabbing you and ass-paddling you. And that goes from here on, right?
Right.
All right. A lot of fuckheads are going to get ass paddling. The next one that gets ass paddling, and maybe not so much down there, but definitely up here. Spin up tornadoes. Get an ass paddling. 4 hours of continuous wall-to-wall coverage every other fucking night for 2 weeks.
Yeah, they're going north of us.
They're going right in our backyard, so we can not enjoy any show that we were going to watch that was on a local channel. Not that there's that many anymore, but you know, I mean, I don't know. I'm just not into the American Idol and the Voices stuff and all that. Are you?
Every now and then. I don't follow them, but I'll sit down. I'll watch an episode every now and then.
Yeah, me too, but man, to me, it's not something. If I got something else to do, I'll do that. So, anyhow.
Right.
And anyhow, I'm still laughing over this. Ozzy quitting acid when a horse told him to fuck off.
Yeah.
That is one of the funniest fucking things I've ever heard. I imagine sitting there in the chair looking at all the colors and all of a sudden a horse comes up. Hey, Ozzy. Oh, what the fuck? Fuck off. What did I do to you? So, yeah, I made him quit taking acid. Anyhow. So, the spin-up tornadoes getting ass paddling and they deserve it. But I would like to add a little note to that, a side note. I'm glad they're not EF3s or 4s or 5s or even 2s. I'm glad they're little spin-up bastards because those things usually come down and then go back up. Although the spin-up that went in Grain Valley was on the ground for like six miles, which is a pretty good track for a tornado, actually.
Yeah, that is.
is an EF1 that's like around 100 mile an hour wind. So if you get caught in that, you're going to get fucked up, you know. Or it could kill you. I mean, it lands a board on your head or something, you know, easily. So, I mean, it's nothing to laugh at to spin up tornadoes, but at the same time, it just interrupts everything, and you know. So, anyhow, I shouldn't even bitch about it, really. I mean, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Alabama, those guys should bitch about it, because those guys get the shit tore out of them by the huge tornadoes, the big supercell ones. So, anyhow. Yeah. But if I didn't ass paddle anything, we wouldn't have this segment, right?
Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
So we got to have stuff to ass paddle. The next one, Mother Nature gets an ass paddling. See above comments. Agreed?
Agreed.
All right. Now, who's going to grab Mother Nature and who's going to ass paddle him? Should we flip a coin?
Oh, shit. All I know is we're going to... That's going to be a chore.
This is... excuse me. This is for all the boomers and Xers. It's not nice to fool Mother Nature. So imagine if you ass paddle her.
Yeah, you might have a point there.
Yeah, do you get what I'm referencing?
Yeah.
Yeah, what was that? Was that parquet?
Something like that.
Okay. So anyhow, Mother Nature gets an ass paddling, however it works out. Local news channels cannot be left out as well for the above comments again. Agreed?
Agreed.
All right. That'd be great seeing them, like, I don't know, reporting it and, like, you know, showing the spin up on the big board, and all of a sudden they just, like, get picked up invisibly. And all of a sudden you see old Sparky hitting their ass. Do what?
Yeah, but not three or four straight hours of it. Mm-mm. I mean, come on.
No. No. I could see some local meteorologist there all of a sudden just, like, just seem to float in the air, and a old Sparky smacks him in the ass live on air. Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and if they listen to the show, they'll know it's us. All right. The Pentagon for trusting AI to jet fighters. We're all boned, dude. Get John Connor. Man. Get John Connor on the phone right now. Let's go ahead and preempt this bullshit. Agreed?
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. So, John Connor needs to get here, pronto. So, yeah, we're all boned, man. You know, we got to get John Connor out here, because pretty soon there's going to be, what, 3,000 of them, I think the article said? Jet fighters with AI? AI at the helm?
Something like that.
Yeah. Well, anyhow, you know our feelings if you listen to the show at all, so. And finally, Bruce Dickinson of Iron Maiden for the bigoted comments, plus a 3,000-word essay/apology. That sound about right?
Never thought I'd see it, but yeah, I gotta agree.
I still love Bruce Dickinson, but the fact is, like, I forgot. God, I can't remember the guy's name, but he was absolutely right.
Yeah,
that comment was bigoted, very bigoted, because he didn't have to make a description about them being a Greek. See you next Tuesday. He could have said just to see you next Tuesday, but the fact that he brought Greek into it means that he has something against that. So I agree with him. So Bruce Dickinson, I'm sorry. Love your music. Got to see your spoken word. It was excellent, but you're getting ass paddling.
Yep.
Only abide by the rules. I don't make them. So, anyhow, Rob, we turn to you.
I ran across an article. How can we get Hollywood to stop getting these six things wrong about grenades?
Cool.
Okay. The first movie error, pulling the pin with your teeth. The safety pin of a grenade is deliberately made difficult to remove, especially when bent. If it were as easily extracted as shown in films, the grenade would neither be safe nor a practical weapon, nor would it be dependable. While a soldier technically could use their teeth to pull the pin, this would likely lead to an unpleasant trip to the dentist, which nobody wants.
Especially in battle. Probably kind of hard to find a dentist there.
It is much easier and safer for soldiers to use their hands to remove the pin. And yeah, and you see that a lot of time on TV.
Oh, yeah, you see it all the time, and that's true. Yeah. It's just like firing a gun sideways, a pistol. You can't do that with accuracy. So the same thing with a hand grenade head.
Okay, movie error number two. A massive fireball explosion. In many war movies, characters are depicted throwing grenades, resulting in a dramatic explosion, followed by their slow-motion escape, as is typical in Hollywood. However, this portal is not entirely accurate. Grenades are not designed to generate massive fireballs. Rather, they are intended to propel shrapnel in a wide radius around them. The typical casualty radius of a hand grenade ranges from 5 to 20 meters. Within 10-meter range, a grenade can fatally injure bystanders, while serious injuries can occur up to 20 meters. Despite the potential lethality of a grenade explosion, the weapon lacks the force necessary to produce the immense fireballs seen in movies.
Oh, wow.
The third movie error.
Okay.
The effects of shrapnel. And the grenades currently in use, the M67 fragmentation grenade stands out as one of the most common. These devices are designed as defensive weapons that break apart upon detonation, scattering shrapnel in every direction. Even improvised grenades like the incendiary Molotov cocktail use a similar fragmentation approach to maximize damage, which would be the glass bottles.
Okay.
However, in movies and TV shows and video games, the shrapnel aspect of grenades is often ignored, with the focus instead on the explosive blast. There they go on that again. Okay, movie error number four. Throwing a grenade like a baseball. When soldiers throw a grenade in movies, they usually throw it lightly over the shoulder like a baseball.
Yeah.
In reality, grenades are much heavier than the average baseball, weighing around 400 grams, depending on the model, while a baseball only weighs 141 grams. It takes time and practice for soldiers to properly learn how to throw a grenade with enough force to avoid falling victim to the 20-meter wide casualty rates.
Wow, that's something I never even thought about, but yeah.
Yeah, the weight difference. So you would have to throw it different. You couldn't throw it like a baseball.
Yeah.
You'd have to get more arch. You know.
Yeah, I never even thought about that. That's stuff that you wouldn't know, you know.
And you would have to put a lot more power into it, too.
Someone did a really good job of this article. This is stuff that a regular person would not catch.
Okay, movie error number five. Projectile grenades are not missiles. Grenade launchers, also known as projectile grenades, have become one of the most easily recognizable weapons in the world. They were first used in modern combat during World War I and were constructed from items like crossbows and catapults. As such, they were less effective than the ones used today. Today, projectile grenades are so sophisticated that they often get mistaken for missiles and rocket-propelled grenades. RPGs are much larger and use larger ammunition that's equipped with its own internal fuel supply, while grenade launchers are smaller rifles that use external fuel to launch fragmentation grenades, which slightly reduces the risk of getting blown up.
Wow. This is interesting stuff.
Yeah, and the final movie error, you can't actually throw grenades back. One movie trope that likely bothers many soldiers and military enthusiasts is when characters throw back unpinned grenades, especially when they've been sitting on the ground for more than a few seconds. While throwing the weapon back can be accomplished in some circumstances, it's incredibly difficult and inadvisable unless one has a death wish. There's only a few seconds of space between the pin being pulled and the grenade going off, and thus the only way a soldier could even successfully lob the weapon back is if they were to catch it straight out of the air.
Oh, wow.
This hardly ever happens. The most likely scenario is it'll roll and bounce on the ground, not giving someone enough time to run up to it, grab it, and throw it back before detonation.
Man, what
and
a good point.
I ran across that on War History Online.
That's very cool, Rob. I love that one. This is stuff you wouldn't think about. Only people in the know would know. And then once you explain it, you're like, oh, yeah, I get it now. So, wow, thank you, Rob. All right, let's go ahead and take our... go ahead, what?
Oh, I said you're welcome.
Okay, let's go ahead and take our second break, and we'll come right back with more stuff. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
All righty.
As much fun as an electric can opener to the scrotum, two douchebags and a microphone.
Think about what's just happened. You don't know what to do. You don't know where to go. But we can tell you what you can eat.
Okay, it's post-apocalypse, and you're walking down the barren wasteland that used to be a city. You find an old can of beans lying in the middle of the road, but you do not have a can opener. What you do then is you find a patch of concrete, you rub the top of the can for 5 minutes, then you go to the middle of the can and squeeze it, and it should pop right open.
Oh Lord, that man just sawed a puppy in half.
Hey there, don't worry, I have a clown nose.
Oh no, that drunk guy just hit my child.
It is okay, I have a clown nose.
Clown nose, just put one on and you can do anything. Want to run for office? Murder people in public? Just grab a clown nose and bam, everyone laughs.
Clown noses are sold at gag stores online and pedophile conventions. Grab one today and make magic happen.
Have you ever wondered where something came about? Have you ever looked at something and said, I wonder what the origin of that is? Well, so have we. That's why we give you the origin of...
This is the origin of beer. The first beer in the world was brewed by the ancient Chinese around the year 7000 BC. It is known there as Kui. In the West, however, the process was recognized as beer brewing began in the Mesopotamia at the Gaden Tepe settlement, now in modern-day Iran, between 3500 and 3100 BC. It's not entirely clear whether he had a light version or even a craft beer version of this. Just saying.
And now, Deep Thoughts with Mark.
I wonder what my dog named me. I may never know. Two douchebags and microphone, I'm Mark.
And I'm Rob.
Got some good news if you're if you like McDonald's. And if you like cheap food, McDonald's reportedly planning to launch a $5 meal deal in the U.S. to attract customers deterred by rising fast food prices. According to a source who spoke to Bloomberg anonymously, the value meal will offer a choice between McChicken or a McDouble accompanied by fries and a drink. That's a good idea because, man, McDonald's has gotten crazy expensive. I mean, I go by there and get a McCafe on the way to work. And that's usually all I get from there because I don't really necessarily care for their food that much, do you?
No, not really.
It's not like it used to be. It may be my taste buds, but I just think it doesn't taste the same. But anyhow.
It don't.
A value meal is like $12 now. And when you go to a sit-down restaurant and get a much better meal for $12 at most places. I mean, I'm talking about cafes and stuff. You know, you wouldn't go into a fancy restaurant and get that, but you would you'd go into a place that has really good food and get a really good meal for that same price. And I'm pretty sure it's hurting customer base because people are like, you know, I'll just go in somewhere and get some good food and not pay these high prices for fast food. So, anyhow, go ahead, Rob, if you got something.
Yes, I do.
Alrighty.
I have one of your favorites.
Oh, American Songwriter?
Yes, sir.
Excellent.
Three bands that Jimi Hendrix disliked.
Cool.
Given that Jimi Hendrix is an undisputed rock king, not getting his stamp of approval must have stung. He wasn't afraid to share his opinion on his fellow musicians, good and bad. The first band, Pink Floyd. Hendrix was known for being a frontrunner in psychedelia. When thinking of trippy Summer of Love music, Hendrix often comes to mind. Pink Floyd was also known for their foray into the weirder, most experimental sides of the music. Some might call their brand of music a form of psychedelia as well. Hendrix did not agree. Hendrix had a problem with bands branding themselves as psychedelic, but were really only adding flashy light elements to their set and playing classic rock. Hendrix categorized Pink Floyd as one such band.
I heard they have
beautiful lights, but they don't sound like nothing, he once said.
Okay, I never viewed Pink Floyd as psychedelic either. I mean, I like their music. It doesn't sound like he did, though. But they were really kind of blues. You know, David Gilmour bend those notes like he did and everything.
Yeah.
I never once thought they were psychedelic. Other people might have, but I didn't. And that's just because most people attributed acid taking and drug taking with Pink Floyd, right?
Right.
And I think that's why I got the psychedelic term. I'm not for sure. Yeah, so anyhow, go ahead, Rob.
Okay. The second band, Led Zeppelin. While
really?
Hendrix did submit to saying that Jimmy Page was a good guitarist, which is high praise coming from him, he didn't think much of the other members of Led Zeppelin. His main commentary on the band was that they rarely crossed his mind. Somehow that feels like a harder hit than dragging their artistry with specifics. But Zeppelin did borrow from others. Renowned drummer Carmen Appice once said, "Jimi Hendrix personally told me that he didn't like Zeppelin because they were like excess baggage and that they stole from everybody."
Huh. I've heard that.
Wow.
I don't know.
Lastly?
Uh-huh.
Jim Morrison and the Doors.
Okay.
While the first two bands might have received flack from Hendrix because of their musicianship, his dislike for Jim Morrison was more personal. As the story goes, Morrison and Hendrix played together in a packed club. Morrison, deeply inebriated, made some vulgar gestures and generally made a mockery of Hendrix. The guitar legend didn't take kindly to that.
Oh, wow.
When Morrison tried to perform with Hendrix again, he reportedly said, "That's okay, fella. I can handle it myself."
Wow.
Yeah, he definitely spoke what was on his mind.
I didn't know that, but that's okay. Well, I mean, I get what he's saying. I liked all the subjects that he talked about, and I don't necessarily have a problem with him, but I do understand what he was saying. All right, thank you, Rob. That was really good.
You're welcome.
Yep. Let's see. Lay's new honey butter flavored potato chips have to hit Costco stores in the U.S. for the first time ever. Like so many great Lay's flavors, the honey butter chips have previously been available in South Korea and Canada. We know we're scratching our heads, too. Yes, Lay's and PepsiCo are the U.S.-based companies, and yet we get out of so many, many great lunches, making it... It doesn't make any sense why they always snub the U.S. on these treats. I don't know. I mean, it sounds okay to me, but not that great. Anyhow, I don't know. To me, it doesn't sound really that good. What do you think, honey butter chips?
No, not really.
I don't know what the big deal is, really. All right, Rob, what do you got for us?
Okay. The 1982 action classic First Blood occupies a unique place in cinematic history, even compared to the other films within its franchise. While the Rambo sequels turn Sylvester Stallone's titular protagonist into a patriotic, heroic action hero who fought to preserve the American way of life, the first entry in the series is a grounded character drama about trauma and loss. The film served as a representation of post-traumatic stress disorder that a generation of soldiers dealt with in the aftermath of the Vietnam War. While fictionized, First Blood tackled a series of systematic issues about the mistreatment of veterans. While Stallone played a major role in shaping the direction and tone of both First Blood and sequels, the first entry in the series was based on the novel of the same name by author David Morrell. The differences between the film and the novel are extensive. The novel features even more brutality, a much darker tone, and more time dedicated to examining Rambo's past. The realism and sensitivity within Morrell's writings is understandable, as First Blood was loosely inspired by the story of the World War II veteran Audie Murphy.
Oh, wow.
All
right. All right.
Born in 1925, Audie Murphy was an American soldier who received national recognition for his service in World War II. Like many young Americans, Murphy joined the fight against the Nazis after the bombing of Pearl Harbor in 1941. While he was too young at the time to officially enlist in the military service, his sister helped him falsify records so that he could serve his nation. Despite being turned down for service by both the Marine Corps and the Navy, Murphy was able to enlist in the United States Army. He served in many of the most critical campaigns of the conflict, including the 1943 invasion of Sicily, the 1944 Battle of Anzio, and the successful liberation of France. By the time that Germany and Japan both officially surrendered to the Allied forces in 1945, Murphy had received every Valor Award allocated by the U.S. Army and additional honors from Belgian and French services.
Wow.
So, yeah, somehow they end up... John Rambo was supposed to be portraying him.
Well, First Blood really kind of pointed out the whole... You know, it wasn't just... post-traumatic disorder and all that, but it was also the way people treated the Vietnam vets.
Right.
They were outcasts. So, yeah, that's...
And that's what that movie was about. It actually brought some awareness to it.
Yeah.
You know, I remember that.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we're going to cut this program down because I'm having a coughing fit and my allergies are out of control and it's just not working out. I'm going to. Yeah. So, anyhow, we got most of it in. All right, Rob, thank you for joining us. Oh, hello, Opal. Hello, Jimmy. Hello, Ricky. Love you guys. Dodge City Council.
Hi, Jimmy. Hi, Ricky.
Thank you all for joining us. Have a good night. Night, assholes.
Oh, no. Looks like the show's over, kids. Mark has explosive diarrhea and can't afford a wireless mic. Fear not, assholes. They'll be back invading your ear holes soon.